you were born and raised in Butte. You stress bringing Montana values to Washington. Your campaign website, your slogan says Montana Courage. What does that mean to you? What Montana values did you learn growing up in Butte that you think need to be brought to Washington?
My dad worked for the Anaconda Company. I remember, you know, my dad was a hard worker. He'd go to work early in the morning, come home late afternoon, and I remember times that, you know, a pipe would break or something over on the hill, and he'd go out for overtime, come home 11, 12 o'clock, and then get up and do it, hit that morning again at 7 o'clock. So, you know, I was raised with what I believe a very strong work ethic, not afraid to work hard and get dirty. I still remember days when the Anaconda Company would go on strike and my dad would have to leave town, you know, come over here to Missoula or Bozeman to work because, you know, still had to put food on the table. But my parents weren't able to put a lot of money aside for me to go to school, and I wanted to continue my education. So I joined the National Guard. And so the National Guard was really something that did change my life. I knew I wanted to go to school, but really wasn't sure what I wanted to do. Initially thought about going to law school, so I took political science and history classes at Carroll. But then once I joined the Guard, I really, you know, I enjoyed the people, I enjoyed the mission, and then an opportunity came out in 1984 to go work full-time for the National Guard. Ended up loving everything about the Montana National Guard and made a career of it. So, you know, the values that I learned in the military about honor, integrity, loyalty, you know, selfless service, you know, those are, you know, military values that I started to learn, you know, early in my career and the leadership opportunities. And so when I talk about Montana values and Montana courage, I talk about the courage to do what's right, no matter what the consequences.
Sir, you are the first Iraq War veteran to serve in the United States Senate. You led more than 700 Montana National Guard soldiers into that war in 2004 and 2005. You certainly would bring unique insight, yet you were not placed on the Veterans Affairs or Armed Services committees. Did you ask to be appointed to those committees?
You know, I talked to Leader Reed when he was making the appointment for committees, and I told him, you know, what some of my interests were, you know, from being from Montana, that agriculture is very important to me. You know, Montana is a big player in, you know, commerce, so commerce is important to the state of Montana. And then with my background, military affairs, and I talked to him about being placed on the Senate Armed Services Committee. And so he, you know, I told him I will serve wherever you think I would serve the best in the Senate and represent the citizens of Montana. So at this time, you know, the Senate Armed Services Committee didn't have a position on it. You know, those are two committees that are very sought after. And, you know, being the 100th ranking senator in the United States Senate, there's a lot of people ahead of me that with seniority that wanted to be placed on those committees. And so there were only, I think, one or two when the shuffle took place, you know, one or two positions on each of those committees. So I am really happy with the committees that I have been placed on, you know, because I think that agriculture is our number one industry here in Montana, and commerce will also have a very big impact on Montana's businesses around the state.
When you first started your campaign last summer, you were running as a political outsider. Now you do work in Washington. You have a voting record now. Much of your staff comes from Senator Baucus's office. How did you decide those very different campaign strategies when you accepted the governor's appointment to the United States Senate?
From the day that I started thinking about running for the position, I felt that Washington is broken. You know, Washington's not able to get anything done. You know, we shut our government down, cost Montanans and our nation millions of dollars by, you know, irresponsible actions by people in Washington, D.C. And then when I, you know, had the opportunity when Senator Baucus was appointed by the president to become the ambassador to China, and then, you know, I talked with my family about that and then told Governor Bullock that I was interested in the position. Well, this will give me the opportunity to go back and serve and to be able to show Montanans what kind of a United States senator I'm going to be.
Attack ads and your opponents are now painting you as a Washington insider, though. The circumstances surrounding Senator Baucus's exit and Governor Bullock's choice of you as the placeholder until this November's election, without taking input from the public or conducting any interviews, that's unsettling to a lot of Montanans. How do you overcome the widespread public perception that your appointment was orchestrated by the highest levels of the Democratic establishment, that it was a backroom deal.
Well, you know, first of all, I would say that that character, those characteristics are really outrageous. I don't believe that it was any type of backroom deal at all. You know, this was a decision that Governor Bullock made. Montana's constitution is pretty clear. Governor Bullock made the decision. I'm honored to be the individual that he selected, and I'm going to continue to keep that in mind every day as I'm serving the citizens of Montana.
In the list of priorities on your campaign website, the first on that list says the courage to reduce our nation's debt and balance the budget. And you say that needs to happen without cutting Social Security and Medicare benefits. Those are the two largest areas of the federal budget if you combine Medicare with Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program. The third biggest part of the budget, at about 20%, is defense. You have come out in support of cutting waste in the military. What is it that you think needs to be cut there?
Well, first of all, I think that government across the board, we need to take a look and cut waste, fraud, and abuse, government-wide. You know, rather than cut programs that are going to impact Montana's most vulnerable citizens, people that have earned and worked hard for Social Security benefits and Medicare benefits, rather than tear those programs down and tear them apart, we need to be strengthening those programs. And I think there may be some waste, fraud, and abuse within those two programs specifically that we could attack, identify, and fix. But then when getting to defense, like I said, I've served 33 years in the National Guard. I've seen where there's a lot of waste and spending that could be cut. And a perfect example, the United States Army, they've told Congress pretty specifically, we do not need any more M1 tanks. But the Congress wants to continue to build M1 tanks. That's millions of dollars each year that we're going to continue to build on tanks. So, in this case, why aren't we going to listen to the leaders of our military who know, what equipment and capabilities they need, and take that money and put it back into the Treasury? Also, in Montana, we have, and every state, for example, some of our contracts that we have around the country, and the contracts in military spending, I believe should be looked at, and we could cut a lot of contracts and save a lot of money there. So I know that there's a lot of money that could be saved in the defense industry and still not have a negative impact on our national security posture.
So is there wasteful military spending in the state of Montana that should be cut?
I wouldn't say specifically wasteful spending in Montana, but the way that the military spends money, for example, should be looked at.
The Affordable Care Act will certainly be a very hot-button issue as we move into this election cycle. Your likely opponent, Steve Daines, has been strongly against Obamacare since he's taken office. It is an unpopular law in Montana. You continue to support it. Why?
Well, I don't know that you have ever heard me come out and say that I support the Affordable Care Act, because I'm really disappointed in the way that the rollout came about. I think it was disastrous. And if I was the President of the United States and a program like that came out, I would be very disappointed. When this program was, or the Affordable Care Act was passed into law, I was preparing soldiers and airmen to deploy to Iraq and Afghanistan. So I didn't vote on the Affordable Care Act, and there's been a lot of problems with the Affordable Care Act. So I am disappointed. Although I do believe that, when you look at the numbers, we do need health care reform in this country. And so I'm all for reforming health care and doing it in a way that can bring down costs on Montanans and provide health care, quality, affordable health care coverage to all of our citizens. So that's really where I want to focus. And I'm open to ideas from both sides of the aisle on how to get that done.
That is also how many Republicans would characterize what they want to do, reform health care and to bring down costs and to bring more people into the system. They say they would like to do it through repealing the Affordable Care Act and starting over. Is that what you advocate?
Well, I'm not necessarily going to say start over at this point, because when you look at the money that has been spent on the Affordable Care Act up to this point, that, to me, that would be very wasteful. There are a couple of programs within the couple of reforms that have taken place that I think are very, very beneficial. For example, my wife is a diabetic. She's been a diabetic for over 43 years. And we were always concerned, about if I were to lose or, you know, lost my ability to serve in the military, because that's I was a federal employee, and if I would have lost my job, I would have lost my health care coverage, and in turn, my wife would not have been able to be, because of her pre-existing condition, would not have been able to get health care coverage. So, you know, I don't think that any citizen should be, you know, one hospital visit away from going into bankruptcy. The hundreds of thousands of other Montanans who have pre-existing conditions should not have to not be worried about being able to obtain health care coverage because of that. So that's one thing that I think is positive. And then I have a son who is 24 years old, and him being allowed to stay on my health care coverage until he's 26. You know, so those are a couple of things that I think that the reforms that are positive. We just need to continue to find other positive reforms and move forward.
This will undoubtedly be a very intense election, especially with the continuing influence of outside political spending in elections. Yet your likely opponent, Steve Daines, and you, in some senses, at this point, you're working together. You're both part of the Montana delegation. You see each other each Wednesday at the Coffee with Constituents meeting, which the entire Montana delegation has in Washington, D.C., to casually meet with Montanans who are visiting the nation's capital. You do have a relationship with Steve Daines. Now, describe how that relationship is at this point. Is it cordial? Is it businesslike?
You know, I think it is, very cordial and businesslike. You know, we have a job to do back in Washington, D.C., and that's to serve the citizens of Montana. So I think we're both focused on making sure that that happens. Montanans will have the opportunity to see, you know, the differences between, based on our votes, you know, how Congressman Daines is going to vote and how I'm going to vote. You know, I would never, for example, vote to shut down the government. You know, I think that's an irresponsible decision. You know, it costs Montanans millions of dollars. It costs our country millions of dollars. You know, so that's just one example of where Congressman Steve Daines and I differ.
Important to note, Congressman Daines did switch his vote on shutting down the government. He did vote to reopen the government, going against the majority of Republicans in the House.
Yes, he did. And I think that was, you know, after the fact, after he saw the negative impact that it was having on Montanans, and after he heard from Montanans that was not the right thing to do. You know, raising the debt limit. You know, that Congressman Daines, I don't think, supports raising the debt limit. I voted to support to raise the debt limit. And the reason I did that is because, you know, I'm all for reducing our debt and reducing our spending, but we should never, you know, put the full faith of the United States government in question and not pay the bills that we've already incurred. What would happen if America's households decided not to pay their power bills or their credit bills? You know, that's just unacceptable.
Montana's newest United States Senator, John Walsh. Sir, thank you so much for your time today.
You bet, Dan. Thank you, and have a great day.